podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Full of frustration.
Silly mistakes again.
Full of despair.
I don't even know if I'll have a club tomorrow.
From years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation.
It could be League Two next season.
Bolton are down, Norwich are down.
Two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory.
Get in!
Pride.
It's been a joy to watch.
Passion.
Nanny!
In search of silverware.
MLS Cup champions, baby!
And they found...
ATL.
Orlando!
Major League Soccer.
That's right, MLS is back, and that means so are we. Welcome to the MLS UK show. My name's Elliot Holman.
And I'm Henry Hewitt.
We have got so much to get through. I don't know how many games there's been. We've got a lot to cover, so we won't mess around. Let's get started. MLS is back.
This is the MLS UK show.
The MLS UK show with Lucid FC. A distinctively modern, casual fashion label. Take a look at lucidfc.us or lucidfc.co.uk and see why celebrities love the look. This season's current line is called What's Your Effing Club? Which is your F? Football, fashion, or film? If it's football, you're in the right place. Film, the MLS UK show podcast is now available to watch on YouTube. But fashion, it's always lucidfc.us or lucidfc.co.uk.
Ah, I think the smile on my face says it all.
Before we start, just need to do something, okay? I've brought something in today just to help me out. I've brought in I bought these especially. These are earplugs. So I know what's coming. So I'm just going to stick them in. There. Okay. Right. The floor's yours, Elliot Holman.
No, I'm going to make you wait for it.
Well, I can't keep these in all show.
Exactly. Oh,
just please. I'm 30 now. I need a warning. I can't just be having loud noises.
We'll get to it because we need to talk about Orlando. We need to talk about Atlanta. We need to talk about the whole of the MLS is back tournament. But first,
what do you want to do first? Should we do the game with a change in name or shall we open up our mailbag?
I've actually got something else I want to do.
Oh, okay.
Get in! Come on! Get in!
I asked you to let me know. Right. I don't know how this will work, but they're staying in. Oh, that's actually quite nice.
I'm done now.
Oh, right. I don't think you are. I'm willing to bet there's another get in coming somewhere.
Me too, probably, yeah.
So these are staying in. Right, okay. What do you want to do first? Game of the change your name or should we open our mailbag?
Let's open the mailbag, shall we? Let's just see. Just dial in, see if we've got any mail.
Welcome. You've got mail.
We've got mail.
Ah, yes. We're on broadband now. You may remember at the start of this season that we were doing dial-up.
Yeah, we used to have to dial it up. It was a nightmare. I've still got the old computer, but I don't want to subject you to it because it's quite an assault on the ears.
Yeah, there. So luckily we're on broadband, so we don't have to do that.
Got a new modem and everything. Right, okay, let's see what's in the mailbag.
We got an email coming from Mike, so thanks, Mike. He says he's a Sounders fan. So as we record this, they're not tonight, is it? It's tomorrow night.
Yeah, they face LAFC.
So good luck with that. He's got a question about the MLS's back tournament. Obviously, the tournament is a brand new, very strange thing. But do you think it's possible to truly judge the state of any team based on their play in the tournament? I think, yes, you can't base the quality of a team based on three wins and a draw. They still haven't ever made playoffs. he says, if you can, which teams have stood out for us so far?
Well, let me put it to you, Henry. If a team had, I don't know, failed to score a single goal throughout the whole tournament, does that say to you that they're in a little bit of trouble?
I would say yes. And I would say later on in the show, we're going to talk about Atlanta.
Oh, I love it.
Sacking their head coach. What do you think? Because it's been a good tournament. And
in all seriousness, I think you've got your answer. Not to purposely dig in on Atlanta, but they've made the change based on the results in the tournament. So I think that says a lot. They've been training as they normally would. They've been approaching games as they normally would with the tactics and formation that they normally would. And so the powers that be have not been impressed with said results and formation. We've seen conversations going on with players, you know, during the game from board members, etc. And so they've made their decision, and I think that says it all. No team goes to this tournament and plays a different way. I don't think you can. You have to treat it like, you know, they are regular season games. There was three regular season games for everyone, apart from Dallas and Nashville, and you have to approach those games exactly as you would in the regular season.
Yeah, I think the only way that a team could say, this is a bit different, or we weren't prepared, were the early morning kickoffs.
Yeah.
But it's not like anyone had multiple of those, you know, it did even it out. So we'll get on to how teams have done so far in the MLS's back tournament.
Oh, that's a relief.
A little later on. Shout out to Brock as well, who commented on when we did a tweet after Orlando beat Montreal. Mm. He just simply said, "The world really is ending," which we can all agree with Orlando getting to the quarterfinals.
It's the most 2020 thing, isn't it? It's just bizarre.
It is. Thank you to Mike for getting in touch. Remember, you can get in touch with our mailbag, hello@mls.show. Just send us an email, or you can tweet us at MLS UK Show, Instagram, Facebook, all sorts. So we'll be reading out some more of those next time.
Mm. Now, let's do the game with a changing name. Let's get this out there, because this is quite a tough one, I think. It's a player I've definitely heard of, but I wasn't aware that they've played for this many teams, and I certainly couldn't have named half of them. So I'm going to give you the career path of a player who's played both here in the UK and over in the States, and you've got to tell me who you think it is. Now, they started their career at West Ham in 2004. Never played a game for West Ham. Went to Colchester on loan in 2006. Queen's Park Rangers on loan, and then the move was made permanent. Now, that's crucial, because I only know them as a QPR player.
Right.
95 appearances for QPR between 2008 and 2014. Loan spells at Leeds, Charlton, Bristol, and Toronto. 2013, right. Toronto FC.
This is what I'm going to have to think about. There's no names jumping out at me yet.
No. Then went to Peterborough, Wickham, and finished their career in 2017 at a little known club called Whitehawk.
Right, okay. Not even the Whitehawk reference, I know who it is. Not that I know any players that have ever played for Whitehawk.
So Toronto FC, 2013. But mainly a QPR player.
Leave that one with me.
I don't think this is easy, but sometimes when I say that, people are like, oh, I got it straight away. So I think obviously a Toronto fan would probably get it, because these players arrive from the UK and then they look up where they've been or where they're from, or they know who they're on loan from. So maybe it's easy if you were there and you were watching the games, but I wasn't, and I think this is quite tough.
Yeah, it's tough for me. I'm not quite sure who that could be.
Any ideas, you can tweet us at MLS UK Show. And of course, we know if you cheat, don't just skip to the end, wait for the answer, because we will give you the answer at the end. At MLS UK Show, if you want to have a guess.
Right then, I think it's time. We did... Go on, we're going to have to talk about this tournament. We're going to have to talk about the teams that have done well and the teams that have not done that well at all.
I will start wherever you want to start. You just come to me, you start with whatever team you like. I'll just be here, ready and waiting to discuss whatever you'd like, Henry.
Right, well, let's go through the groups then. Unfortunately for me, the first group is Group A. You predicted that Philadelphia, New York City and into Miami would go through.
Mm-hmm. Saving face.
Yeah, I predicted Philadelphia, New York City and Orlando would go through. When we did the last episode afterwards, because Nashville were asked to go home, we changed all the groups. So we did predictions, but we can't really judge ourselves off the predictions, because all the groups changed anyway. Okay, let's start with Orlando then. Feel free, anyone, to skip forward a few minutes if you don't want to listen to this. But I've got to say congratulations, because we're not used to Orlando doing well at anything, really.
No.
And they've done really well in this tournament. You're in the quarterfinals, mm-hmm. three wins, one draw against a good Philadelphia side in a game that didn't really have anything on it anyway.
Yeah.
As an Orlando fan then, just how happy are you at the moment?
I think you can probably tell by the smile on my face. But do you know what? It's not even... Coming away from the tournament aspect, it was an important 7 points in the regular season. I keep coming back to the regular season. I think it's really important that we don't get carried away with the tournament. Those regular season games are going to be really, really important because we don't know how many more we're going to get. So they're crucial. And the takeaway from me is that Orlando looked like a different side. And I'm just so, so impressed with what Oscar Pereira has done in such a short amount of time. And I think Orlando look difficult to beat. I know we face either Seattle or LAFC next. And I'm totally at peace with the fact that both those teams are probably better than us. And we're probably going to get knocked out. But I think that's not the point. It's the fact that we look twice as good as we've ever looked. And if we can continue in that vein, I'll be extremely happy. And actually, you could almost guarantee that we would make the playoffs, which is just inconceivable as an Orlando fan. So just really happy that they just look a different side. They look difficult to beat. I've never seen that before. I won't dwell. I won't keep going on about it, but it's a different style of play. It's more attacking and they're grinding out results and I love it.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing, because as a neutral in this situation, Orlando...
You're not a neutral in this situation.
Orlando are playing really well, I'll give you that. And I have been impressed with the way you've played. But more importantly, like you said, you're grinding out results. You got the equaliser against Philadelphia. Mm. You know, you got that win against Inter Miami on the first game. And Montreal the other night, you know, 1-0, you needed a goal. You got it. Potentially offside, but we won't go into that. Yeah, so well done. I'm happy for you. Don't get me wrong. When you do eventually go out of this tournament, I will be smiling. But just so I don't have to hear get in again. But no, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you because we've done this podcast for 3 seasons now. You've not had any glory at all, apart from a semi-final US Open appearance where you lost to Atlanta.
The running of the wall. What a time.
So I'm glad. Elsewhere in the group then, New York City just scraped through thanks to a last-minute LA Galaxy goal. And we then went through against Toronto last night. Philadelphia Union carrying on the form from last season and playing really well.
How strange is the New York situation? Because they didn't look good at all. I don't know if anybody else suffered the New York City-Miami game, but it was awful. It was one of the worst games of football I've ever seen. Like, it didn't look like there'd be a goal if they played for 9 years. I don't know what happened to New York at the start. Those first few games, they just didn't look on it, didn't look ready, didn't look well drilled, didn't look promising whatsoever. Managed to scrape third and obviously have since beaten Toronto in the knockout stages, which is unbelievable. Philly as well. Interesting tweet from Sam Sech, easy for me to say, that guy.
from The Athletic.
From The Athletic. Yeah. the bird dog, as they call him. He said that Philly are so underrated that they're now becoming so talked about as an underrated side that the pressure is on them. And that's so true. We've said this for the last couple of years. They're such a real unglamorous side. They did really well to make the playoffs last year. And I love they've got a strong bench. They use that diamond, you know, the Bethlehem Steel, their B team, if you like, their USL team are well drilled. They play exactly the same way. So when the players make that 11 that Jim Curtin picks, they're ready to go. And I think they're a really, really strong roster. They've got such a strong roster, real depth, real quality. And I'll be honest, I was pleased with a point against Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philly are one of those sides who... we saw it a bit with Toronto last season where... I mean, Toronto are a big MLS side now, much bigger than they were 5 or 6 years ago. But no one really expected them last season to get to MLS Cup. And they did. They got the wins where they needed to get them. They did what they needed to do in the regular season. And Philadelphia, you just seem like they could be one of those sides that just do what they need to do and then be knowing how to scrape through in matches. And, you know, MLS, the beauty of it is the fact that I think someone, it might have been MLS Buzz yesterday, I saw they'd looked at the last 10 years of seasons like in MLS, Premier League, La Liga. And I think MLS had like 8 different winners in those 10 years, whereas the Premier League had 4 and then La Liga had 3 and whatever. And that's the type of league it is. And Philadelphia are a side now who, if it's not this season, but definitely next season, if they keep going, they could be one of those sides that just manages to achieve the dream.
With no superstars.
No, exactly.
I'll briefly talk about Miami. I mean, everyone's spent the last 3 years talking about Miami and David Beckham and their arrival in MLS and who they're going to sign and all of that stuff. By the way, speaking of who they're going to sign, let's just... Big spin. Arturo Vidal from Barcelona.
I saw that. Anyone would be a good signing for him at the moment, so I'm all for this.
So the arrogance continues. They finished bottom and eliminated, and they're going to sign a player from Barcelona.
I feel sorry for Miami because they're getting... I know Nashville weren't in...
Did you say get in?
They're getting... I know Nashville weren't in this tournament, but they're in a similar position to Miami. In fact, Nashville have actually got a history like last season of playing.
Yeah.
So... I feel Miami were always going to get a bit more stick than any other teams would. They are new. It's a new side. And I don't think they've been battered in any game. I think they've done okay. But they need to get that monkey off the back and get that first point at least, or a first win. And, I mean, Beckham's come out and said it's a work in progress, which he is right.
I can relate to that. We're 5 years in.
But
and we had a team before.
But with the pressure, Miami aren't going to put up with this for much longer. They need to get that win. And with the gaps in between the tournaments now, it's going to get to the point where it's been like 6 months and they've not won the game yet. So
I don't know how patient... I put them in the same bracket as Atlanta, who have had success straight off the bat. I don't know how patient Miami fans are going to be. And it's the same with Atlanta. You know, even before this tournament, you know, last year they sort of turned on De Boer a little bit. And I'm gonna go out there and say it. Whilst Miami are a bigger rival to Orlando now going forward, they looked a lot better than Atlanta. And you know, I don't think all is lost for Miami. I think there's just a few key pieces missing, maybe.
Yeah, and that is a tough group. Anyway,
yeah.
You know, with Orlando, Philadelphia, New York City.
Yeah, tough group with Orlando in there, yeah.
Not quite the toughest group. I would say Group E was such a hard group. But Group B, San Jose, Seattle and Vancouver went through. Vancouver went through as one of the best placed third teams.
Yeah.
This was the group where our MLS UK Show Championship was being held.
Yeah, it's on the line.
Yeah, if you don't know what this is, we've been doing this the last few years now, and MLS Cup champions from the previous year, it's like wrestling or boxing where every match they put the title on the line. Seattle were unbeaten until Chicago beat them. So Chicago Fire claimed the championship, but then San Jose beat them. So San Jose Earthquakes are currently our champions. They take it into their match against Real Salt Lake.
Yep.
In the knockout stages. So we're going to be doing this throughout the season, so keep your eyes on it.
It's interesting because that 3 points that you mentioned from Chicago, getting 3 points off Seattle, it's the only 3 points they got. They finished bottom of the group. This group seemed a little bit all over the shop for me because Seattle obviously came into it as massive favourites, having won MLS Cup, only finished with 4 points. Like they only just scraped it, really.
Yeah, but we're used to them... They never have a completely full, amazing season, do they? They have a slow start or they have a slow finish, but they still make playoffs. They still qualified. So even in this tournament, they still qualified.
Yeah, yeah. They did what they need to do. I want to talk about San Jose because I was really impressed with some of the play I saw from the Quakes. And I think maybe since Almeida's been there, they've not had enough credit, because I think actually they didn't do much in terms of bringing in players last season. We mentioned that it was just new coach, or that'll fix everything. Mm. But they seem to be playing a different way now. And I really liked the way, like, it was high energy, it was a press. They looked like they were, you know, a really attractive side. So I'm excited to see how far they can go in this.
Yeah, I think Almeida, he got some credit last season. I know he didn't get playoffs, but the way he turned round that season after the start when they were losing, like, they were shipping goals for fun, mm. they weren't scoring many. They really turned it around last season. And I know he didn't have the best of starts in the opening two games, but this tournament has carried on the form that they showed last season. So I think San Jose are... okay, do I think they're going to win this tournament? I think they'll beat RSL.
Yeah.
And then they'll have to try and beat probably Columbus or maybe Minnesota. So it's going to be tough for them. But going forward, San Jose are in that bunch of teams who can easily make the playoffs. And again, it's like I said with Philadelphia, you get a few good results in the playoffs. Now, especially because it's one-legged playoffs, you never know. They could be underdogs.
We'll do one more group, because that'll take us to halfway. Group C, no one's left in it. They're all gone.
Yes, Toronto, New England Revolution and Montreal did go through. DC went out. However, since the group stages and in the knockout stages, you're right, they've all gone out. Toronto, probably the most surprising. Maybe New England Revolution, I kind of were rooting for them a little bit. I thought with Bruce Arena, they could potentially do something. I mean, that group sorted itself out. That Toronto-Montreal game was a fantastic game. Well, probably one of the best MLS games. I want to talk... Montreal, not really much was expected, but we got through, which was
lost,
a good
lost time. Two games and got through.
Yeah, so which just says this tournament all over. Toronto, then, how disappointed would Toronto be waking up this morning, Monday morning, knowing that they got beat 3-1 against a New York City side who have been pretty average so far?
I think it hurts. I think that really hurts. In recent MLS history, let's not forget Toronto at the start of their MLS history, it took them longer than it's taking Orlando to get to the playoffs. They were that bad, but they have become a real staple of success in MLS. Like, for example, since we've been doing this podcast, you know, three seasons, they've been a real force, taking it to Red Bulls, Atlanta, LAFC, Seattle. We've seen numerous finals between Seattle and Toronto. It feels like that's every year. And they're a big side. If there's a big side in MLS, Toronto are one of them. And this is a real surprise for me. They didn't start with Altidor. They didn't start with Akinola as well, who we need to mention. I remember when he was added to the roster for pre-season, everyone was talking about this guy, and quite rightly, because he's been so impressive. But he was injured, so he didn't even make the bench, and they just looked lackluster. They looked like they didn't quite have that lethal Toronto attack that we've come, you know, to be so used to. Michael Bradley, in the first 10 minutes, you could see it wasn't going to be a good day. It didn't look like it was going well at all. And I think Toronto are probably going to be the biggest shock so far. I think that's the biggest surprise so far.
Really? So, really? The biggest surprise so far?
Well, I presume you're alluding to Atlanta, but...
I'm talking about Cincinnati.
Well... Okay. Well, Cincinnati being in it and Toronto not is a very big surprise.
Very briefly on this now, we've mentioned a few of the sides that have gone out. DC United, do we expect more from them? Are they a team in transition? They just seem to turn up and leave. They didn't really offer much.
I wasn't impressed with DC. I'll be honest with you. I've said this numerous times. Their roster is not big enough. It hasn't been big enough for the last three years. To be honest, I couldn't tell you their full roster from 4 years ago, but for the last 3 years it's been too small, so they've had no depth, and it really, really screamed like there was no options. They couldn't score a goal, and it was left to Higuain to come off the bench, who left Columbus because of an ACL injury where he didn't play for a year. So it's been like 2 years since he's played a game, and that's their goal scoring threat now. That worries the whole thing worries me. They didn't look it's all right having a small roster. Like Philly sort of did have it, but they had options. But they just even the tactics, the formation, it just didn't look right. It screamed like a new manager had come in, and actually Olsen's been there for ages. And no, I didn't like what I saw, to be honest.
Did DC need to change? Olsen's been there a while now. Do they need to change, or is he the man to build this DC 2.0?
If I was coach of DC, would I pick the same 11 that he did? Probably. So does there need to be investment? Do they need more players on the roster? I think that's something they need to look at. I know they've got Loudoun United. How much talent is there, really? We've seen a lot of fringe players coming through, but no one's really, really impressed. So I think they need a bigger roster, and they've sent him to war with a tiny little pistol.
And that's the last thing you want, or a tiny little pistol. Right, we'll cover the rest of the groups later on in the show. We've also got Crisis Right, got my guide to Portland. But let's talk about a brand new team entering MLS. We now have a name.
MLS UK Show with Elliot Holman and Henry Hewitt.
Charlotte FC.
Was it a bit of an anticlimax? They spent Charlotte FC, or Charlotte MLS, spent a week teasing all these different names. There was All Carolina FC. There was Charlotte Athletic, Charlotte Crown, Charlotte Monarchs. And then they've just ended up with Charlotte FC.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I know a lot of people like the heritage of these like crazy MLS names. Mm. But if you think about the newer teams, you know, Orlando City, Atlanta United, they've been a lot more, you know, British, shall we say. A lot more formal. I don't mind it. Charlotte FC, it's like... Who cares? Who cares about the name? I'm interested to see what they're going to be like, you know, when they join the league. Mm. Although that may be a little while.
Yeah. They've said 2021. Mm. Other teams have been told recently, thanks to COVID, that their entrance into MLS is being put back a few years. Mm. We don't truly know because we're not in that, you know, in the bubble, but we're not in that bubble of sides making their way into MLS. Yeah. But if you were a fan of one of these teams and you're excited, you think MLS is coming to my city, how disappointed would you be that it's now been delayed?
I think if you're a fan of those clubs, I think if you're getting excited about your team becoming part of MLS and Don's been there and he's held up the scarf and it's happening and you're thinking about what players you're going to sign and what your jersey is going to look like, I think it's really exciting. But I think, in terms of the league, there's enough teams already. We're not desperate for new sides. It's exciting. It's always nice when new teams join, but it doesn't affect the day-to-day running of that league at all.
I think you're right. I mean, it's purely on an excitement level for fans that we want these new teams. Because I genuinely think, whenever it is, in 5 years, when we're not, like Don Garber's not accepting any other teams, I think we'll miss this. I think we'll miss teams coming in every year and the drafts and stuff like that. I think we'll really miss it. So if we get another year of that, then okay, great. And it's been pushed back. But I feel sorry for the sides. And I get it because there must be so much needs to go into it, you know, getting a team ready for MLS. And with what's happened, it might be difficult to do it on Zoom or whatever. So I do get it, but I'm gutted. I want them. I'd have them all in now. Just flood the league with these new teams.
But you just said, in a few years we'll miss it. They're never going to stop adding teams. They're making millions. They're never going to stop. Yeah. There could be 50 teams, and it would just never work. But they wouldn't care. They'll just keep adding them.
Yeah, I think what'll be a shame though is like when if you look at the NFL model, like some sides never play each other, and I think that'll be a shame if. I don't know, Atlanta can only play LAFC like once every few years, you know. But no, it's what it is. And I must admit, the colours, the sort of Inter Milan, I should say, blue and black, I think Charlotte will be a great addition to MLS. In fact, all the teams coming in, I think in their own different ways, they're showing their own identities.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they'll all be great additions to the league. But we've just got to wait.
I think as well with the likes of Charlotte, I think it seems to be every few years that someone comes in and takes, like Atlanta did, for example, really, really takes the league by storm. And I just think someone, one of these new teams that we're getting, someone's going to really surprise us. And I can't wait to see who it is.
Yeah. We thought it might be Inter Miami, not so. But Inter Miami, maybe this is the best thing for these teams coming in to look and go, wait a second, these look like they had a bit of money. They had all the media or the press going into it. And they've actually lost the first five games, so do it a different way. I know a lot of teams will look and go, well, we want the Atlanta model rather than FC Cincinnati.
I was going to say, they're now going to win MLS's back, Cincinnati. So yeah. Everyone will want the Cincinnati model.
But with respect of going into this tournament, they would want the Atlanta model over the FC Cincinnati model. But again, you know, these teams are new teams. It takes time to build. And when you've got teams like Seattle who have made the playoffs the last 10 years, whatever it is, it's difficult to compete. But eventually, in another 10 years, we'll have a lot more even. So we will wait for Charlotte. Good luck. Charlotte, who listens to the show, who's a big Orlando fan,
yeah.
I feel sorry for her because you obviously naturally would support Charlotte. She has already pinned a colours to Orlando. So
yeah, but this is the thing. If Orlando weren't suddenly doing so well, I don't think I'd blame her for going to support Charlotte, but she's not going to go anywhere now, is she?
No, maybe a second team for her. And we might have a lot more Charlotte's support in the league. So when they come into MLS, we might do something. Just we might feature a different Charlotte every week. I don't know.
Okay, I want to play our regular game, The Crisis is Right.
Go on. I'm ready.
I've got a little theme for you this week. It's to help remember those. Do you remember those first two games of the season? Not many people do.
Vaguely.
I've got the overall MLS standings. Of course, with the MLS is back, three MLS is back games taken into account, and the two games that we got at the start of March as well.
Okay.
So all I'm going to do is give you a club, their points, and you've got to go higher or lower. So, Henry Hewitt, come on down! Can't beat the music, can you? Okay. Let's start with Montreal. Okay. Montreal are currently 11th, and they've got 7 points this season. Higher or lower, Colorado Rapids.
Colorado should be higher, I would say.
They're lower.
Oh, really?
On goal difference. Oh, it's a harsh start. Higher or lower than Colorado with 7 points, Atlanta United.
How many points has Colorado got?
7.
Lower.
It is lower. They've got 6. Higher or lower than Atlanta with 6, Toronto FC.
Higher.
It is higher. They've got 9 points.
Right.
Higher or lower than Toronto's 9, Portland Timbers.
Higher.
It is higher. It's 10. Higher or lower than Portland's... Music's run out. Higher or lower than Portland's 10, Sporting Kansas City.
Lower.
It's higher. They've got 12. And of course, the only team higher than 12 is Columbus, who have got 13 and are top of the 2020 standings.
Wow.
Not your usual performance there.
No, it wasn't.
Here come the excuses.
I'm just lost with this season. I'm really lost. I don't remember what happened last week, let alone 4 months ago.
Some interesting headlines as well. Miami are rock bottom. They're 26th and they're below Nashville, who, of course, have only played 2 games. and Dallas are 20th, having only played 2 games. They got 4 points.
But we'll see how they adjust that later on.
The MLS UK show.
So let's round off our group stage reaction to MLS is back before we look forward to the knockout stages. We got to Group C. Group D, then, 3 teams went through in this one again. And... This was my toughest group to call, yeah. I think. I think I would say SKC in Colorado, and then you went for Minnesota in RSL. So considering that Colorado was the only team that didn't make it through, I guess you win that one. For me, this was a weird group because, as you can see, with SKC getting 6 points, Minnesota 5, RSL 4, they weren't really that standout team in this group. Let's look at Colorado Rapids first then, the team that didn't go through. How disappointed would they be? Because they seem to be building something, and would this have helped them on the way to that, or is it just business as usual?
I think it's the same for RSL and Colorado. They're both on the fringes of... we couldn't call this group, so that tells you a lot that we see those teams as almost level, being able to challenge the likes of SKC and Minnesota. I think when you see it written down, I think when you see SKC, Minnesota, RSL, Colorado in that order, I think you can maybe go, actually, yeah, to be fair, that's about right. Minnesota didn't lose a game, of course. Got five points. SKC topped it with 6. Colorado really disappointed me, like losing 2 games, only managed to get a point. I think they're better than that.
No, I agree. I think SKC and Minnesota, they started the season very well, so they've continued that. RSL, probably where you would put them, would you agree? The kind of that team that's on the edge of the playoffs anyway, so to finish 3rd, 4 points.
They still got through.
They did, and it's just typical RSL. Win one, draw one, lose one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think they're very much on the verge of doing something a bit special. I think whoever comes in next, roster-wise, coach-wise, I think there's real potential there. They just always seem to not quite make that final step. So they've got a chance here. They're playing San Jose. They've got a real chance of getting through to the quarterfinals, you know, and therefore making the final.
Group E then, nothing happened in that one. Group F, no. Group E, you can look at Atlanta, and we've discussed it, and it was poor. Yep. They've sacked Frank de Boer, which in my opinion, they was right to do so. Scoring no goals, and I know we only conceded 3. It was a very boring sort of tournament for them.
Yeah.
But not winning a game, not getting a point, not scoring a goal, it's unacceptable. For me, as for Atlanta, in the Premier League, Man City and Liverpool won't be putting up with it. So if Atlanta are the team in MLS at the moment, or the team that have won the most in the last few years, it's not acceptable. So that's happened, and we'll see how that progresses after the tournament. FC Cincinnati, though... They 6 points. They had a horrific start, losing 4-0 in the Helles Rio Derby against Columbus.
Yeah.
But then to pick it up the way they did and get 2 wins over Atlanta and Red Bulls, who 2 seasons ago were the 2 best teams in the league. What a tournament for them so far.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because I look at that. I like Cincinnati. This is the thing. I like them as a team. I love the fans. You know, they've got even their original stadium. You know, Nippert Stadium is great. I love everything about them. We've spoken to Jack Stern, the goalkeeping coach. He's a fellow Brit. I like what's going on there, but they've just been so disappointing. And when they lost 4-0 to Columbus, no one was surprised. This is the trouble. No one was surprised by that because it's Cincinnati and Columbus have been a really strong side. So I think, when you look at the fact that they managed to turn that around, finish 2nd in that group, that's huge. Above Red Bulls, above Atlanta. Let's not forget, this time last month, before this tournament kicked off, when we all saw the groups, there was memes going around the internet about, you know, this group, Group E, and how, you know, it was basically just going to be Atlanta and Red Bulls, and the other two would just be sort of bleeding at the side of the road. And it's very much not the case.
No, I mean, I'm going to say it. I did pick Columbus Crew. I think they would go through, and they haven't surprised me with getting 3 wins out of 3. I think they are a real potential for this tournament, and I think if they were on the other side of the bracket, it would be them versus LAFC or Seattle in the final.
They haven't conceded a goal, Columbus.
They've not. But have they peaked too soon? Are they going to lose out in the knockout stage? It's going to be disappointing. That's what I'm really intrigued about, to see whether they've peaked too soon. Red Bulls... Red Bulls is just the Red Bulls of the last season, I think. Then they I just feel they're lost at the moment. I feel that there's...
But what are they missing?
I think they're missing a few things. But I don't think they've replaced the... I know BWP weren't exactly playing that... You know, he weren't playing last season, so... But I don't think they've replaced him with somebody who's going to get you 15 goals a season. You know, they've had other players that have gone to Europe or left the club, and it's... I just think they're just kind of in that middle period of... If they're not careful, they could slide and then they'll struggle to make the playoffs. They need to make the changes now while they've got the time and bring in a few players, I don't know.
We touched on the BWP thing before, and I think we both said it. Like, there's no way that you let someone of that talent go. You know, he's on relatively small money at LAFC. And for me, that's an incredible pickup. If the best team in the league want to take your striker that you don't want anymore, I think there should be alarm bells ringing.
Well, you don't know what was going on behind the scenes. Maybe BWP has just had his time at Red Bulls and he needed a change. Because sometimes players can need that change to start performing again. You know, if they stay where they are, it just goes stale. So maybe it was that.
Yeah, ultimately, you know, Atlanta is a shock. If you'd have showed me that group a couple of weeks ago, I would not have believed it. Like, that's unbelievable. But fair play to Cincinnati and Columbus, I've got to say, they're the best team I've seen play so far. Mm. They're the best team I've seen. They look really, really strong.
Very good. And they've beaten some, on paper, some good sides, quite convincingly, really.
Yeah, LAFC are the ones that everyone's talking about. Whenever we get to... MLS doing the latest odds, it's always LAFC. They're in Group F. They finished second. What are you saying? Do LAFC go on and win this whole thing?
I think they do. You look, I know they're conceding goals, but look, they've scored 11 goals already. Like, they, you know, they have a team to beat. And that Seattle game that's happening tomorrow here in the UK as we record this is, I can't wait for it. I really can't wait for it. That is the, that's going to, if LAFC get through that one, I think they've got a straight run then to winning it. But Portland obviously went through as well, and Portland are a decent side who could also, you know, get to the final. They could, they're in the easiest side of the bracket, so they could easily get to the final. Houston and LA Galaxy then. Houston were so close to going through. LA Galaxy equalising the last minute from the penalty spot, which meant that they... are out. LA Galaxy, that give them their only point. Houston, it was always going to be difficult for them, but LA Galaxy.
It's a tough group. Houston are not a bad side, but they're in a group with three strong sides on paper. LA Galaxy is a real surprise. They just didn't look together. There was no togetherness. There was no organisation. They looked all over the shop. I mean, the LA Derby, El Trafico, was just unbelievable to watch. I couldn't quite keep up with everything that was going on. It was ridiculous. But they look like they're in real trouble, to be honest with you. And going back to the start of the show when we said, does this mean a lot for the regular season? Well, yeah, because they only picked up a point. You know, they played three regular season games and only got a point. It's not good enough. It's LA Galaxy.
You would fancy, with Pavon and Hernandez, you would fancy that they will pick it up later in the season. But we don't know how many games there's going to be.
No.
When MLS returns in its capacity that we used to. So LA Galaxy now with 1 point from, or 2 points from five games as it is, could really be struggling. They could really be struggling. And that would then mean another season of failure, really.
I mean, already when you look at, you know, you look at the Shield, the overall standings, which is important. You know, that's what this is all about, essentially. The reason this tournament exists is to get points on the board in the regular season. They're 24th, and they're literally the two teams below them are Nashville and Miami. You know, that's LA Galaxy. That's nowhere near good enough.
No.
They've been so disappointing. But that concludes the examination of the groups and everything that's gone on. Make a little prediction for me. Who wins this whole thing?
I think you've got to look at LAFC. Although I will say, whoever wins the LAFC Seattle game, and it pains me to say it, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to beat Orlando, because Orlando have got two extra days on them, remember that. So we'll wait and see on that one. I like Columbus. I hope they haven't peaked too soon. But same with Portland. You've got to go with LAFC, though.
I'm going with the winner of LA or v Seattle. Whoever that is, I think, goes on to win it. Because I think that's the toughest game that either of them are going to have. Arguably Columbus, potentially, if they meet Columbus. But realistically, I think the toughest game on their route is this one.
Right, so before we go, it's time. It's the time that I know you look forward to every episode.
Oh, of course, yeah.
What we're doing every episode is I'm giving a little guide to a different place in of a team in MLS. Of course, we know a lot about these US and Canadian cities or states, but what do we know? Like, did you know there was a spam museum in Minnesota?
Not until you told me last time.
There you go. So, last time I said I'd do it to Portland because you're planning a trip around the USA.
Yep.
So, you basically just want me to help you out with
it. You're my travel guide.
This is Henry's guide to Portland.
Famous for its country music.
It's quite a hipster place, Portland, so I don't know whether you would listen to it. Hey, Elliot.
Hey, Henry.
Did you know there are two Portlands? There's one in Oregon and one in Maine.
Is there?
Yes, Portland, Oregon is where Portland Timbers lived. And it could have been called Boston. That's because the name Portland was decided on a coin toss. There were two people, so one from Portland, Maine, and the other one from Boston, Massachusetts, and the one from Portland, Maine won, so it became Portland, Oregon.
So they could have been the Boston Timbers.
Yeah, exactly. Timbers comes from the nickname. Let's have a look at this nickname, Slump Town.
Wow.
Stump Town. Oh. Stump Town. That's because as the city grew, more and more buildings were made. Then all you'd get is like stumps in the ground where the trees used to be. So the Portland nickname is Stump Town, not Slump Town.
Makes a lot more sense because I follow the SB account and it's Stump Town rather than Slump Town.
Although, because there's less trees there now, it still is home to one of the most famous parks in the world. How can I put it? What have I put? The smallest park. There we go.
The smallest park?
The smallest park in the world. It's called Mills End Park. It's 2.5 feet in diameter. It's in the middle of a road. It's literally like this desk is bigger van that park. It's got a tree on it though, and it's the beer city of USA with more micro breweries in the city than any other place in America.
Okay.
Famous people from Portland include Timber Joey, of course, and
legend.
This is my favorite famous person we featured on Henry's Guide to North America, Simpsons creator Matt Groening. He's from Portland as well. So there you go, there's Henry's stuttered guide to Portland, or Stump Town, as it's known.
I genuinely really wanted to go to Portland. However, nothing against you, Portland. Henry's ruined it for me. That was not very impressive, was it? Anyway, big finish.
Next time on the show, I'm going to let the soccer play out where I go next. Whoever wins, MLS is back, will be my next guide to North America.
Orlando!
Unless it's a team that we've already featured. Then we'll choose one.
All right. Okay, what's next?
Well, we've got to end the show on the game of the changing name. I'll be honest, mate, I really don't know who this person is.
So I told you they're mainly famous for their time at QPR. Have you got any players at all that are popping into your mind? If I say QPR 2008 to 2014, 95 appearances.
No, well, Bolton played QPR a few times in this period, and I think QPR stayed up and Bolton went down one year. So they were a team I was like concentrating on, but I just can't think of any player that has played for him right now in that period, especially one who's then gone to MLS.
Yeah, they played in MLS for Toronto FC in 2013. Also went to Wickham and finished their career at Whitehawk. Also capped for England under-16s to 19s as well. Any guess at all?
I don't know. I normally have a guess, but this one I really don't know.
Hogan Ephraim.
Hogan Ephraim.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I forgot he existed.
He's only 32 and he doesn't seem to be playing anymore.
That's why, because he doesn't exist.
So it looks like he retired before 30. But yeah, played for Toronto FC in 2013.
Well, there you go. Choose one next time, but I'll know. Well done if you got it right. Remember, we know if you just went to this moment and then went back and told us who it was. But well done anyway. Right, that's it for this episode of the MLS UK show. Good luck to the teams left in MLS's back, apart from Orlando.
Brilliant.
We'll be back next time. Remember, subscribe on YouTube. Press the notification bell as well. Same with your podcast provider. If you subscribe, you'll get to know whenever we drop a new episode. And we'll be back probably after MLS's back has finished.
3 wins and a draw. Get in. Vamos, Orlando. Let's do this.
See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.